Thank you so much, Brother Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want you to find your place there, if you would, in your copy of God's Word. We have been, and let's talk about it. We started 2 weeks ago on Sunday mornings, on Sunday evening, actually, but we're going to talk about it this Sunday morning as well. We're working around some things in our preaching time as we're trying to figure out as we move toward the end of the year. We started a series, though, 2 weeks ago that we have titled Tough Topics for Today's Church. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, then you know that we talked about the business of the body. And we did it from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The whole purpose of this series is to address things that we are not hearing addressed in the church of 2023. There are many of them. Things that in many cases can be a bit polarizing. But we want to address them because we want to know the Bible. We're not concerned about what this party thinks or that party thinks. We want to know what God thinks. And so as we discuss the business of the body and our responsibility to the body, God is just allowing us to manage. I want us to turn back to the same passage that we were on that week. And I want you to rise to your feet and let's honor the public reading of God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. And give your careful attention to it. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now here it is. The body is not for fornication. Did you see that? Did you know that's in the Bible? The body is not for fornication. It is for the Lord. The Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is within the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's God's Word. Totally true. It is fully inspired. It is His message today for us at Linwood Baptist Church in this 2023 world. I want you to zero in, and we'll talk about it in a moment, this word that we see here, fornication, because it is in it that we find our tough topic for today's church. And I want to speak to you for a little while on this theme. Get it in your heart. My purity pledge. I want you to pray for me today. We want to study the Bible. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Through the years, many parents, they have encouraged and challenged their children even to make a purity pledge with them. This purity pledge, it is often commemorated with some form of a token, something like a ring or perhaps a chain or a necklace or something of that nature. The whole purpose of this purity pledge that they are making with their children and this token is for them to keep this token upon their person every day that they live, so that when they go out into the world, it is a constant reminder of the commitment that they made, not only to their parents, but to God, but also themselves, of course, that they will keep their lives pure. They will keep their lives out of sin. In many other settings, be it like youth camps or even small group Bible studies, certain circumstances of that nature, young people are often challenged to do the same. They are challenged to make a purity pledge. It is making a promise again to themselves, to the people that are involved, but ultimately to God Himself, that they are going to stay pure. They're going to stay out of sin. I think it's a wonderful thing for young people of any age to make such a commitment to their parents, to themselves, to the Lord, or to anybody. I think it's a wonderful thing. But I would submit to our hearts this morning that it should not just be young people that are making purity pledges. People who are making practices and decisions to practice abstinence outside of marriage. It shouldn't just be young people, but we are living in a society, in a day today, where all people, regardless of age, particularly, of course, every child of God, regardless of age, we need to make a purity pledge, a pledge with ourself and with our God that by His grace and with His help, we will keep our lives pure. We will keep our lives clean. Now listen to me. I would say that most of us have never committed some form of fornication with, as the Bible calls it, a harlot. The Bible is speaking of that very thing. But what I want you to understand here is the sin of immorality. Sexual sins of all types is running rampant in the modern church of America today. And folks, we need to keep our lives pure. We need to keep our lives clean. And because it is running rampant in the American church today, this is why that it is a tough topic. As I have said already in this series 2 weeks ago, I'm going to reiterate it time and time again, probably every message. When we come to tough topics for today's church, there is no way that everybody is going to get up and walk out of here in unison on it. We should, but there are going to be people who wish that I would have gone further. There are going to be people who will think that I went too far. But my commitment to you is I am going to be silent when God's word is silent, and I am going to speak when God's word speaks. And with an open heart, I want you to understand that whatever you may have heard your whole life, whatever you may have been told, whatever you may have thought, whatever you may have practiced your whole life, listen, you could be wrong. What matters is what God says. Do not move to the left. Do not move to the right. There is error in both, and I am learning that more and more. Just stay in the Word of God. Do what the Bible says, and we'll be okay. So let's tackle this tough topic today together. Will you do that with me? My purity pledge. And as we do, I want you to learn with me, first of all, that there is the presence of fornication. The presence of fornication. Now, the word fornication, it is not a word that we hear used very often in our culture today. But as we just learned from the Bible, and the Bible is all that matters, correct? What we just learned from the Bible is it is a Bible word. Therefore, it should consume our undivided attention. Listen to this. In 1985, Dr. Donald Kraswell, he was a professor at the University of Tennessee, Arlington campus. He surveyed 262 marriage counselors. Out of that 262, 22% of them thought that marriages were in jeopardy when the wife had an extramarital relationship, while only 2% of them thought that the marriage was in trouble when the man had an extramarital relationship. Now, there's a lot that we could unpack from that, but what really caught my attention was the statistic that came next. In this survey, 40% of the counselors themselves, these marriage counselors, 40% of the marriage counselors that were surveyed, they confessed that they themselves had been guilty of extramarital experiences themselves. Did you get that? 40% of that. Now, this is a survey that was taken nearly some 40 years ago. It was before we have seen this incredible moral decline of our nation today here in America. But even so, yet 40% of marriage counseling professionals back then were guilty of fornication. Imagine what that number would actually be today if we were to know it. Now, I share all that with you because I want everybody in this room to understand, and everybody that is listening, listen to me, fornication in all of its forms, it is everywhere. It is all around us. But what exactly is fornication? When we speak of it, what is it? Well, let's consider that, first of all, with what I'm going to call in this fornication and the presence of it, that there is a defined corruption. In other words, we are going to define what fornication is. The Bible says in verse number 13, the body is not for fornication. Now, that Greek word for fornication that is used here, it's very interesting. It is porneia. And when we translate that, that's where we get our English word. Listen to me, pornography. And it actually can be translated even further beyond that as harlotry. It is adultery. It is immorality. It is even incest as well. You see, when we dig deeper into the meaning of this word fornication and its definition, we learn that it is a very broad, it is a very explicit word, and it points to several things that are prevalent in our culture today and in the American church today as well. You see, back in these ancient Bible times, listen, they did not have all of these forms of pornographic outlets that they could go to, but their guidance, it was all given through, in many cases in their days, forms of harlotry. It was a huge business in their day, and it was one that was practiced by younger and older people of all ages. Furthermore, our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 28, and if you've not heard this, you need to hear this. Jesus himself said that whosoever, are you listening? Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He is already guilty. Now let me be as clear as I can, as kind as I can, and as gentle as I can, but I do want us to understand what the authority of God's word is actually speaking to us with in this tough topic. This is not just a matter of going out and purchasing an encounter with a heart. Do you understand that? When the Bible speaks of fornication, it is actually pointing to something and many things far more explicit and detailed even than that. It is dealing with any form of extramarital relationship of any kind whatsoever. It is dealing with any form of sexual immorality. I mentioned incest as well. But it is also dealing with any and all forms of pornographic material. And yes, we need to understand that it is even dealing with the most passing and lustful look of someone else. That's what fornication really is. That's what the Lord is addressing here in our topic. Now, is there anybody here that would be so bold when we understand what fornication really is? Is there anybody here, I wonder, that would be so bold as to say that at some point in all of our lives, we have been guilty of what God is saying we are not permitted to participate in? In some way, every person here has been guilty of forms of fornication. They are things in our past that we have been guilty of that we have never gotten right with God. And I would tell you upon the authority of His Word that you and I today need to fall down upon our faces, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, and beg Him to forgive us, for God could be withholding His blessings from our life because of unconfessed sin in this. All right? Let's dig a little deeper in it. Let's go beyond this defined corruption, and let's look a little deeper, because we are also learning here that God makes a despicable connection with it. Look in verse number 15. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies, they are the members of Christ?" Now, we discussed that a couple of weeks ago, but the phrase that should capture our attention is this next one. "Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the members of an harlot?" God forbid. The basic thought of such filthiness, the basic thought of such sinful things, it horrified the Apostle Paul so much to the thought, it was so outrageous to him that he could not have words that were strong enough to describe it, to repudiate it. And so all he says is, "God forbid. God forbid that you would ever mingle these two things together." See, there is only so far that we can go with this in this setting that we are in. And I understand that entirely. But listen, friends, fornication in all of its forms, it is a distortion of the holiness of God that is intended for the man and the woman. The man and the woman in the marriage relationship. Following their marriage, are you following me? Following their marriage, they come together as God intended them to come together. And his reward for that is offspring. His reward for that is children. The Bible term for this is fruit, bearing fruit. This is a picture of the marriage bond between God and his church. Christ and his church. Ephesians chapter 5, go and study that later. Just as the fornication bond, it is a picture of the devil and the one that the devil is deceiving. When you and I fall into forms of fornication, we are being deceived by the devil. And we are making a bond with the devil. James chapter 1 and verse number 15. It actually speaks of how the father of sin, it is the devil. The mother of sin, it is lust. The offspring, however, of sin, it is shame, it is regret, and it is death. Amen. Now everybody listen to me. I want you to remember this. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. The day that you and I got saved, we became Christians. Do you know what that means? Literally, a little Christ. And so therefore, friends, when we participate in any form of fornication, we are symbolically merging Christ with the acts of Satan. And the Lord is saying here, that is a despicable connection that we in our flesh are making. This is one of the many reasons why we do not even need to give the impression to anybody else in the world. We addressed this, and I said I was coming back to it 2 weeks ago. We do not even need to give the most basic impression to anyone else in the world through our conversation, through our unmarried public displays or otherwise of affection, our social media post, our language, or here's something that is so prevalent in our day today, unmarried man and unmarried woman living together. You are giving the impression of fornication. Now, you may try to convince people all day long that there is nothing impure, there is nothing ungodly that is going on there. And here's the thing, there may not be. That is something only you and they know. But you are at bare minimum giving the impression of that, and you call yourself a Christian. Listen, you must remember, Christ would never do such a thing. Amen. Therefore, a little Christ should never do such a thing. You are hurting your testimony. You are destroying who Christ really is to this world and who you say that you are for Christ. The Lord would never put himself in that situation. Therefore, a little Christ should never put themselves in that situation. Beyond that, let's just admit the fact we are weak people in our flesh. And when we put ourselves in a situation to commit such fornication, even if it is not intentional, things can happen. Even if you don't intend to give the impression, things can happen, and you'll find yourself in a mess in a hurry. Amen. Now listen, no matter the details, no matter how it may be condoned, no matter the conditions, many of which by which we create ourselves, by circumstances that we put our lives in, no matter what the conditions may be in any of these areas or how we may justify it, the purpose of purity is to stay right with God. And we've got to understand, as we learned 2 weeks ago, these are not our bodies. These bodies are the members of Christ. Therefore, you treat the body as Christ would have his body treated. You are merely managing the body that God gave you, and one day you will give an account for it. And he said, do not merge my body with fornicating things of any form whatsoever. This is here his body. Therefore, our hands are his hands to do his work. Our feet are his feet. Our tongue, it is his tongue. Our body in all its ways, it is God's body. If He is to use us as God desires, we must keep our bodies pure.
Amen.
I hope that we understand now what the presence of fornication really is. But let's take it a step further and let's talk about the punishment of devastation. Now, I hope you're still listening on this Sunday morning, because we need to understand that if you and I drag our body that God is merely giving us to manage, that's it. One day, remember, He's going to take the body back. We learned that, didn't we? One day He's going to take the body back. And if we mismanage this body, this only tool that He has given us to be able to use for His glory, to be able to serve Him with, if we mismanage this body, we drag His name through the mud and we bring reproach to Him, God's not going to let us get away with that. God's not going to just wink at that kind of thing and say, no big deal. Everybody's doing it. It's 2023. No. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Hebrews 13:8. No matter the conditions, no matter the justification that we may put on it, there will always be consequences for us sinning against God. With any form of sexual impurity, immorality, the Bible word here is fornication. I see consequences in the text and throughout the Bible in three different ways, and I want you to get them in your heart. I want you to write them down because they are very real. The first one I want you to get having to do with the punishment of devastation is there will be a spiritual withdrawal from your life. There will be a hindrance between you and God.
Amen.
And it will happen immediately. As soon as the sin is committed, it will happen immediately. If you don't believe me, look in your Bible in verse number 16. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot. Now, it's talking there about fornication in all of its forms. It's not just talking about purchasing such an encounter with a person of that. It's talking about fornication in all of its forms. Look at this. Is one body, for two, saith he, shall become one. The last phrase, one flesh, the last phrase of that, two, shall become one flesh. Many of us may recognize that, don't you? It's taking us back really to some of the words that our Lord even said in Matthew chapter 10. We're recognizing it because it is words that we find in marriage and wedding vows. Jesus said in this experience, Matthew chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 is where you will find it. And they twain, the Bible says, shall be one flesh. So then, listen to this, so then they are no more twain. There's a lot I could say about that. If you get married, everything comes together. Your house comes together, your money comes together, your family comes together, everything comes together. But moving on right now, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That is a vow that we made before a holy God. That's what he is pointing back to. Now back in our text in verse number 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He's saying you can go your own way if you want to, or you can go God's way. Did you really get it? You see, we all have a choice.
Amen.
We can go God's way. We can go the world's way. That is the devil's way. We can either have God in all of His purity, or we can have the devil in all of its forms of fornication and impurities, but we cannot have them both.
Right.
If you choose sin and fornication, you are rejecting God and walking with God. There is an immediate hindrance, separation between the life of a believer and Almighty God when this sin comes into our life. If we choose to sow sin and join ourselves to such sin as fornication, we will reap the whirlwind of it. Because God's power, God's presence, God's protection will be withdrawn, withheld even from our lives. Have you ever seen the hand of God removed from somebody's life? I've seen it. I've seen it many times. And I am telling you that it is a heartbreaking thing to watch. As somebody makes a choice to run down their own path, to mingle the member of Christ with an harlot. Fornication, forms of immoral sin. I've seen it many times. And you watch a life just unravel. And no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you run after them, how fast you run after them, no matter how much you want to try to help people and you want to try to tell them this is the wrong path that you're going, your life is unraveling. So oftentimes, people, they just will not listen. There is a withdrawal of God. Amen. There is a hindrance, a veil of sorts that is even comes over them and they cannot even think straight anymore. And we'll see that. But they run their own direction. There is no clearer biblical picture of this and evidence of this than that of what is given to us. I love Psalm 51. In David's confession to the Lord of his sin with Bathsheba, as the hand of God after sin, fornication with David, after sin had happened, the hand of God was removed from King David's life. The 10th verse of that says, create in me a clean heart. He's saying, dear God, I am so dirty. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Something's not right within me. My spirit isn't right. It's sin that is there. Verse number 11 says, cast me not aside. Cast me not away from thy presence. In other words, he's saying, dear Lord, I feel like that you've thrown me out the back door. I feel like you're not even here anymore. And David is saying, don't cast me away from thy presence. He says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Do you see it? He had no joy anymore. There was a separation between him and the God that he loved with all of his heart. That's just a brief glance, a brief example, really, of David and his sin with Bathsheba and how that it all just fell apart in his life. There was the spiritual withdrawal, the hindrance that came between him and the Lord. It is a hindrance that he had never known. It is a hindrance that he had never experienced. It is something that he did not know how to handle or how to respond to. You see, a withdrawal of God, it is a miserable thing in the life of a believer. If you're saved, and by the way, that's how you'll know you're saved, if you can live in any form of fornication and not feel the presence of God withdrawn from you, conviction in your life, guilt, regret, all such things, you're likely not a child of God. You're likely not on your way to heaven if you can continue to live in such sin, because God will not allow that to happen. It is a miserable thing because we know that God can no longer hear our prayers. We know that we cannot speak for Him anymore. We know that we cannot effectively serve Him anymore. And it hurts our heart because we know that we have broken and devastated the very heart of God Himself. But in our justification of it all, and in our pride of it all, we still won't let ourselves get right with God. Amen. Therefore, the punishment, it just keeps coming. And the punishment, it only gets worse. We move then from a spiritual withdrawal to a physical weakness that will engulf our bodies. The Bible says in verse number 18, but he that committeth fornication, immoral sexual sins of all kinds, he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Listen, friends, God's judgment for us committing such sin is so oftentimes disease that will come upon our bodies. Now stop. I've said this many times. Not every disease, not every sickness that comes upon our bodies is the result of sin. I want to be very clear on that today. Not every sickness, not every disease is the result of sin. God is very clear in His Word that we're going to get sick. And that sickness sometimes will be such that we'll be unto death. Okay? That's not what God is saying. But, it is absolutely true that sins of fornication, and more times than not, it is judged by God by forms of sickness and disease that comes on the body. It is really quite simple. Now get this, it is really quite simple. If we run through God's stop signs of do not commit this sin, don't do it. By the way, stop signs just like we're hearing this morning at Linwood Baptist Church. If we run through God's stop signs of change your lifestyle, change your sinful ways, we are doing it at our own peril, because our bodies will pay the price physically for our sins. Many transmitted sins. And because of the company that is in this building, that is where I will stop right there. But many transmitted diseases, should I say, many transmitted diseases, they are the result of immorality. They are the result of fornication. But oftentimes, God may also allow non-transmitted diseases to come into our lives. It will bring physical weakness upon us. Why? As we learned 2 weeks ago, because that's how God gets our attention. When our body falls apart, that's how God gets our attention. Physical weakness comes upon us, and we begin to evaluate things in our lives. Now, sometimes that may take a few years, but it'll come. God pours it out on the body. You are not going to drag that body through fornicating sin and get away with it. I could take a great deal of time and tell you about a business associate that I had many, many years ago when we were in business. And this man was deep in forms of fornication, deep in all forms of sin. Listen to me, his body literally fell apart, didn't it? Fell apart. I'm talking about a young man, a man in his 20s. His body literally fell apart. You don't know when it got better? It got better when he got right with God. And he did. He got right with God. To my knowledge, he's strong even today. I could tell you about a lady that I know that her husband confessed on his deathbed. Again, a young man in his late 40s confessed on his deathbed to his pastor that the reason this disease had totally taken over his life was because of the sin. He knew that was in his life. I could take you back again to Psalm chapter 51, and we could look at the life of David. And when you study that out, would you know that you will learn that for the period of time of 1 year, King David's body fell apart. There was physical weakness that came upon him. There are many other examples that I could give you. These are people that were guilty of immoral sexual sins, of fornication. All I can tell you today is keep on running down and running through God's stop signs if you want to. Keep on living in immoral sin if you want to. Keep on bypassing all of God's merciful off-ramps of purity that we find in 1 John 1:9. Keep on doing that. But your body will keep on falling apart. A spiritual withdrawal is bad enough, but a physical weakness, that makes it worse. But did you know it even gets worse than that for committing such sin? Because then it will run to a mental woe. You will begin to torment yourself because of the sin that you have committed. Look in your Bible. Verse number 15, know ye not. Verse number 16, know ye not. Verse number 19, know ye not. Go to Psalm 51 again with David, and you will find that his mind was tormented because of the sin that was in his life. Amen. Paul is saying, know ye not. It is a series of knows, K-N-O-Ws, that he is giving us. And what Paul is saying is there are some things that a child of God ought to know. There should be a mental understanding. And understanding that there's some things that a Christian just cannot do and get away with it. When we abandon doing what we know, K-N-O-W, what we know to be right, our minds, they will pay the consequences of it. And there is not, that does not usually come until, again, later on down in life. But your mind, it's just tormented by it. You failed God. Following the withdrawal of God, that hindrance that comes in your life, and then the spirit of the physical weakness that will come, there will be a mental anguish that we could have never imagined. We never thought that sin for that season would hurt this bad on the other side of it. Did you know in many cases it causes people to lose their minds entirely? Sin will result in that.
Amen.
I've told you many times of what Dr. Jerry Vine said. Sin makes you stupid. Sin makes you stupid. You begin to do things that you would have never imagined. Common sense leaves you. The ability to make good decisions is no longer there. Sin has ruined your mind. Our minds are tormented with regret. Not only, it's not just because of what we did. You see, that's bad enough, isn't it? You know you've messed up, and you have such regret, and your mind is tormented over it, but it's deeper than that. The torment goes to the very fact that you know that you could have corrected it. You know that you could have made it right sooner, but you did not do what's right. And as a result, you have hurt yourself. You have hurt your family. You have hurt your church. You have hurt everybody within your circle. And there's such regret that is there. You're beating yourself up. You cannot get over your past. Your past is tormenting you because you know that you failed God.
Amen.
It's not just the spiritual aspect. It's the physical aspect. And it is the mental aspect because you failed God. David Jeremiah, he tells such an interesting story of a Seattle man who tried to steal some gasoline from an RV. Maybe you've heard this. He attached a siphoning hose to the vehicle and he went to work trying to siphon it. But police later found him out in the middle of the street screaming in pain. It seems that he had attached the siphoning hose not to the gasoline tank but to the sewage tank. Oh, that's a bad day. That's a bad day. The owner of the RV declined to press charges because he was too busy laughing. That guy was just an idiot. And we can laugh at that to a certain degree. But I do not want you to miss the spiritual significance in that little humorous story. You see that man right there? He did not know what he was doing. He did not know that he attached the siphoning hose to the wrong tank. He was doing it totally accidentally. He was doing it inadvertently. Don't miss the spiritual significance. The difference between him and us is the fact that many times you and I do know what we are doing. We do know that we are living in sin. We do know that we are in the middle of some form of sexual immorality. We do know it, and we don't care. We know that we have attached our hose to the siphoning tank of the sewage tank and not the gasoline. It's attached to the tank of sin, and we know it, but we keep on doing it. We keep on going down that path, and then we have the unmitigated gall to get mad at God for Him not pouring out His blessings on us and giving us what we really want or what we really desire in this life. We blame God when in reality, we are the ones that attached the siphoning hose to the wrong tank. You need to understand if you want to continue to live in forms of immoral sin, fornication that it may be in all of its forms, do you know what you're doing? You are attaching your hose to the wrong tank. And you're going to pay the price for it. There is devastation. Could I encourage you today, please, upon the authority of God's word, please, 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 you do not have to live in a way that you have a spiritual withdrawal, that you have a physical weakness, and that there is not a mental woe that comes over your life. The presence of fornication. There's the punishment of devastation. But do not miss this. There must be the pursuit of renunciation. Renunciation, meaning simply this. It is the formal rejection of something. In other words, we must formally reject sin. Fornication, in all of its forms. If we are going to have a purity pledge, there must first of all be the personal defiance that we'll have against sin. A personal defiance against sin. Verse 18, look at it. I want you to see it. Do you see what God says to our heart in verse number 18? Flee fornication. Do you know what that word flee means? It actually means to shun, run away from, or vanish yourself entirely. Flee sin. Flee immorality. Flee fornication. Flee pornography. Flee every other form of impurity. God says, run the other direction. Just as Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came upon him in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph ran the other way so much that he left his coat behind. Ran the other way. That's what you and I must do. We must move the opposite direction from sin and from fornication. This is getting more and more difficult in the world that we are living in today. I mean, isn't it? This is a mess. We were talking just last night, were we not, about the mess. The girls had gone to bed. The mess this world is in now. The mess. There was a teenage boy that went into the women's bathroom at a restaurant last night that my family was in. I didn't learn about it until later. It's a good thing, I guess. This world is a mess. Can I confess something to you? Aren't we all flesh? Can I do this? Will you let me? Not so long ago, I was driving to Anniston, Alabama to visit one of our dear ladies in the hospital. And to do so, I had to drive through the campus of Jacksonville State University. I came to a stop sign. It was a crosswalk. While classes were changing. Ladies and gentlemen, I literally had to turn my head the other direction. Because there was what appeared to be a 19 or 20-year-old young girl that walked right in front of my truck, no further from where I was sitting to this center aisle, right here where Joel and Candare walked right in front of my truck. And I don't know how to delicately say this other than the fact I had to turn my head because her gluteus maximus was hanging out everywhere. And here's what bothered me. She had no shame. She was doing it intentionally. She was trying to attract the attention of people. Another tough topic. When faith meets fashion. A couple of weeks, we're going to study what God says about our attire and what God says is acceptable. We're going to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. I want you to be here. But as that young lady crossed and as I turned my head to the left as she was walking to the right over here, the thought entered my mind is that is the daughter of somebody. A mom and a dad somewhere. And right now, that mom and a dad would be one of two things that needs to happen. They would be absolutely horrified and mortified. They would be furious at the fact that their daughter was intentionally exposing the body that God had given her that way. Or the second thing is, those parents need to be taken out themselves and whipped for allowing that little girl to grow up in such a way that she thinks that that is an acceptable thing to do. Now understand me, I'm not saying that guys are innocent in it. I just confess to you to the fact you've got to turn your head. Guys are just as guilty as the girls are and all this stuff. We all understand all that, don't we? We're just as guilty. I'm not blaming this on all the girls. I'm going to put this as delicately as I can. And if you've got a place to write this down, I want you to write this down. Would you do this? I think this will help us. Write it down. You cannot keep the bird from landing on the brain, but you can keep the bird from building a nest in it. You cannot keep the bird from landing on the brain, but you can keep the bird from building a nest in it. We must have a purity pledge. And it all starts with a personal defiance against what God calls sin. In this text, it is fornication. It is sexual immorality. It is pornography. All forms of impure things that it is speaking of, God says no. And somebody's going to need to take a stand today. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room. Somebody has got to rise up and say, we're no longer going to involve ourselves in it. I'm going to take a personal defiance position against sin. I don't care if I get poked fun of. I don't care if I don't have any more friends. I don't care if I get abandoned. I don't care if I lose my job. I'm going with God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to knowingly put myself in a place where I am going to have a spiritual withdrawal, a physical weakness, or a mental woe. I'm not going to suffer such consequences when God said they're coming. I'm going to do what's right. A personal defiance of sin. But one of the main reasons we do that is because as a Christian, we have a pleasing desire. We have a desire to please God. I take you back again to the words of verse 20 that we studied 2 weeks ago. He said, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." Every time that we are faced with the opportunity committing some form of fornication, or even the thought, even if it ever enters our minds, our motivation to run, to flee from it as fast and as far as we possibly can, is because we know that we cannot have God and sin at the same time. And the thought ought to terrify us to purity, to think of us just living 1 millisecond without the very presence, protection, and power of God on our life. I don't want the hand of God removed from my life in any way. That ought to motivate us. Amen. To purity, so that we will please God. Amen. Brother Timothy, you can come to the piano if you would. Ralph Sockman, he once wrote about an experience that he had while standing at the edge of Niagara Falls. It was a cold March day. Of course, you know up there it would have been real cold. The water would have been cold. Ice would have been forming. And he said that he would stand there and he would watch birds from time to time, and they would fly over, and the birds would want to get a cool drink of that water coming out of the mountains, going over the falls. And so what the birds would do is they would flap down and they would go right to where the precipice was of the water, and they would get a drink, and then they would fly back off. But what the birds didn't realize was every time that they went back down there, Brother Daniel, there were little pieces of ice that would form on their wings. And so that bird would fly off. It would, but then it would come back to get another drink. And he said he watched it several times happen. It would come back to get another drink, and before long, more ice would form on it. But yet it would keep coming back, and the bird didn't understand what was happening. But as he went down, more ice would form, and he would flap the wings, and it would be harder and harder eventually for him to be able to get up and to fly away safely. And then out of total exhaustion, all of a sudden the bird would just fall off across the falls to its death and die because that it got too close, because that it kept going back. Now listen, I understand it's a Sunday morning, and I understand we all want to think that we're good religious people, but I tried to establish in the very beginning that there is not one of us here that has not in some way been guilty of the sin of fornication in our lives. It's there. And I have to wonder today, how many of us are frantically flapping our wings? You're just barely holding on to life because the sin of your past is weighing down your wings, and you cannot seem to get back over the precipice of the falls again, and you are this close to dropping off into a life of sin, of shame, and regret. You can't get over your past. Sometimes we don't want to go into prayer to deal with things because we're even embarrassed to admit it to God. I'm that way. I come before God many times. Brother Joel, I'll say, "Dear God, I'm embarrassed that I'm even here again saying I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this pride. I'm sorry for this form of perversion. I'm sorry for this attitude that I've had. Dear God, I'm sorry, and I'm embarrassed about it." I would encourage you today that if you've ever been guilty, and you have, and if it's unconfessed, you need to find you a spot here, and you need to leave it here. You need to break the ice so you can fly away to freedom one more time with Him. It's been tense in here this morning. It's a tough topic because the church of today is inundated with immorality. Let's rise to our feet.